As I was sharing, I don't know if you were here Sunday or not, but I mentioned five books that I have that I use as a reference, the great books. One is called Faith and Confession by Charles Capps. And if we don't, if you're interested, if there are some of you that don't have these books and are interested, we will endeavor. If you are, let us know, and we may make some effort to get some of these books in the bookstore. One is called Mountain Moving Faith by Kenneth E. Hagin. These three other books you may not know of, and the authors, I'm sure you've heard of E.W. Kenyon. This one is called The Power of Spoken Faith. It's by Don Gossett and E.W. Kenyon. The other is The Power of Words, also by Don Gossett and E.W. Kenyon. And this other last book is called Speak Life, Words That Work Wonders, again, by Don Gossett and E.W. Kenyon. And I also would say there's another book that I reference by Mark Hankins. It's called The Spirit of Faith, and he covers a lot on confession and speaking and so forth. So there are a number of books out there. I use these particular books. I go back and read them and reference them as needed. Great source of material. Mine are highlighted and underlined and triple underlined, and I reread them, and great source of just study material. James chapter 3 and verse 1. I'm going to read from the King James. It says, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body." So you can see here, our words can bridle or control the whole body. Keep it in check. That's what some of the other translations I was reading Sunday, that some of the other particular translations, the NIV says that if anyone is never at fault in what he says, he's a perfect man, able to keep the whole body in check. The New Living says that we could also control ourselves in every other way. So we can control this body by what we say. What does that mean? That means if there are addictions, if there are habits and appetites, can we control those with our tongue? The answer is yes, absolutely. Verse 3, "Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body." See, this is talking about turning the whole body. "Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth." And you could use, I was saying, you could use as an example your car. In today, I mean, maybe it's not a ship, but maybe you're driving a car. You decide where you want to go. If that car is going in the wrong direction, you don't just sit there and whine and cry and complain, and I'm going in the wrong direction, complain. No, what do? You turn the steering wheel and you get going in the right direction. So it's the same thing. You could use that example also. Verse 6, "And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body." Wow, isn't that something? "And setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell." How many of you gotten around and they say, "I just can't do this. I can't. Or somebody to say, "I'm just not smart enough. I can't do this. I can't figure this out. And guess what? They don't figure it out. "I can't quit smoking. I can't stop eating. I just can't. And so what are they doing? They're defiling their whole body. they're putting and setting, as this says here, setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. And I mentioned Sunday, if hell can inspire your tongue, why can't heaven? Why can't heaven inspire my tongue? And it can. Amen. Verse 7, for every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Well, the answer is no. Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine, figs. So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. So what we could say is, you can't speak negative and expect positive. You can't speak positive and expect negative. Or say it another way, you can't speak cursing and expect blessing. Thus, you can't speak blessing and expect cursing to come. Amen. Cannot. It's impossible. Let's turn over to Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18, 20 and 21. And then we'll go to 1 Samuel 17. Proverbs 18, 20 and 21, it says, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. We were mentioning on Sunday, shall be is a future tense when it says a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. So that means you've got to speak increase before you enjoy increase. You've got to. Shall be means you've got to do something ahead of the fruit. So you must talk increase. You must talk blessing. You must talk increase. Let me read a few other translations in Proverbs 18, 20. I'll read verse 21. The New International Version says, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Good News Translation, it says, what you say can preserve life or destroy it, so you must accept the consequences of your words. The Complete Jewish Bible says, the tongue has the power over life and death. Those who indulge it must eat its fruit. And the New Living Translation says, the tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. Whoops. So if you like to talk, you need to check on what you're saying. The Message Bible says, words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. Amen. So our recovery, I could say our economic recovery, is in our mouth. Everything we need is in God's Word. And we need to get God's Word in our heart and spoken out of our mouth. Or whether it's whatever the recovery is, maybe it's a health recovery, a financial recovery, a marriage recovery, a relationship recovery with your children, that recovery is in your mouth. Amen. Glory to God. Now let's go over to 1 Samuel chapter 17. And let's look at this story this evening. This is a wonderful, I like just reading it you know, there's different accounts. All I know is this guy was a, Goliath was a big dude. He was big. Now there's some, you know, different accounts. When you go look it up, you say, how tall was he? And so you have different accounts. People say he was 4 meters. Some say he was 6 meters, whatever it is, or 6 cubits. And some say 4 cubits. All I know is he was tall. And they say 4 cubits was 6'9". I ain't buying it. Because he was, whatever height he was, it was imposing. Imposing to the point that nobody wanted to contest him at all. So I'm more in line of saying he was 6 cubits and a span, which was 9'9". That's tall. Plus, it said just his coat of armor, it said it was so many shekels, it was about 180 pounds. Just the shield he had, his armor. They said his spear, the spearhead, was 20-some pounds. Just the spear. So he was imposing. And so now when you read the story and you see where David comes out and he said he disdained him. What does that mean? He's one of that. What, am I a dog that you come out here with staves and sticks and you come to fight me? And he began to curse David with David's gods. See? And so you can see here, David, there was some words being spoken here. And David riled him up, didn't it? So there was a war of words, and those words that were exchanged, this war of words, happened before the victory. Right? And that's no different in your life. There's going to be words spoken in your mind. You ain't never going to have this. You won't have it. Or somebody may say it to you. And so there's going to be some words, what I call a war of words, back and forth. And don't ever, like David, David never ran towards the giant with his mouth closed. Don't run towards your giant with your mouth closed. Amen. You've got to speak, and don't let the devil have the last word, for sure. So when we look at, of course, you can see the story. We won't go through this, but just start looking at, let's look at verse 32. And you can see here that David and Saul exchanged some words. So there were some things being spoken. Verse 32, and David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with the Philistine. So what happens? There's going to be some contesting of those words. And Saul said to David, you're not able to go out against the Philistine to fight him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. So what happens? David's got something to say. David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Huh. How many of you do that? So he had something to say to Saul. And thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. Now, when he said he was uncircumcised, he is essentially saying he had no covenant. He was not in covenant with Almighty God, and I am. And that ought to give us a clue here. Somebody going to talk and woof at you and say, you'll never have, and you say, wait a minute. I'm in covenant with God. I have the promises of God, all the promises of God. are yay and amen for me. Hallelujah. So you continue down the rest of the story, and it says, and David said, he's continuing, David said, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And then what? Then Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. So then David, or Saul, tried to arm him with his stuff, his armor. And he said, this doesn't work. So David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off of him. So now here you can see David gets down into the battlefield in verse 43. Or verse 41. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, I guess if you're 9'9", and somebody coming out on the battlefield is maybe 5 foot, you would be looking around. And it said here, and when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of fair countenance. And so here we start another exchange here of words. 43, and the Philistine, this is Goliath, said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves, or sticks, you could say? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine, he keeps talking now, to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. See, he's talking, but he's got no covenant with God. And 45, then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. Oh, now he's talking. This is covenant talk here. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee. And I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. See. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army. What did he run toward? He ran towards the army. One boy. He's running towards the army to meet the Philistine. David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slang it and smote the Philistine in the forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. And of course, you can read the rest of the story where it said he cut his head off and so forth and so on. But you could see here the war of words. And you can see here that there was an exchange. Philistine, Goliath is saying something. I'm gonna make mincemeat of you. I'm gonna deliver you, kill you, and feed you to the fowls of the air. And David said, really? I don't think so. I think today the God that is the God of the army of Israel is gonna deliver me into your hands, is gonna deliver you into my hands. And you are gonna be fed, and this army is gonna be fed to the fowls of the air. So sometimes, you know, when there are thoughts that come, and we all live through this. I remember Pastor Hagen sharing this. You know, there's others, you know, that he said when Dad Hagen passed, 2/3 of the people left their church, and 2/3 of the money that came in to support that ministry flew away like a bird. And he began to say, you know, it looked in the natural like that ministry is done with. And he said he got his Bible and he put it on the ground and he stood on it and he said, God, I'm standing on your word. And he said, I will not be defeated and I will not quit. And this ministry is not going down, but it's going over. And you've got to come against the thoughts and the conditions, whether it's that or you personally, you've got to know that God is for you and not against you. That he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what conditions and situations you're facing. You've got to confront it with words. And you've got to say and speak to it and say, I am not a child that's without a covenant. I am in Christ. I am in Him. He lives in me. He cares for me. He loves me. He has my best interests. And you've got to speak to the thoughts. This is brother, what did Brother Hagin used to say? He said, you can't stop a bird from flying over your head, but you can sure stop it from building a nest. So you can't stop the thoughts, but you can sure come against them from staying. So we need to come against these thoughts that come, and we need to speak. So there is as we call it, a war of words. Now let's turn over to Matthew 4 and look at this story here. This is after Jesus came out of the wilderness. He was in the wilderness for 40 days. And so 40 days and 40 nights, he fasted. And let's take a look at this story here in Matthew 4, starting in verse 3. Here's another exchange of words. Matthew 4, starting in verse 3. And when the tempter came to him, he's talking about the devil now, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, this is Jesus. He got something to say. He's going to respond to what the devil's words are, right? It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple. And he saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, well, he knew he was, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the devil and the glory of them. Verse 9, and saith unto him, this is the devil, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then Jesus had the final word here. He said, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. So Jesus had the last word here. He said, get thee hence. Something as I was meditating in this scripture just before I came out, something that the Holy Spirit, I'd never seen this before, maybe you have, but if you notice here, the devil kept speaking to the devil, to Jesus, do this. I command thee, do this, Jesus. Speak here. Go here. Fall down and worship me. If you remember Jesus, what did Jesus say? No, yeah, he did say that. But the significance of that is, to me, this is what the Holy Spirit was showing me as I meditated in this scripture. Jesus said in John 4:34, Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. See, look at the significance of this. John 6:38, he said, for I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And then he also said in John 8:29, and he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. So now if he had responded and did something that the devil said to do, think about it, that's what got Adam and Eve in trouble. They messed up the whole deal because they responded to something that the devil tempted him with. They questioned God. If you be the Son of God, command these stones to be bread. If you be, did God really say that? Same thing. And if Jesus had responded, boy, I'll tell you, the whole deal would have been messed up again. But he sent the perfect lamb. So you can see here the devil was pulling the same deal with Jesus. Just obey me. Just do this. See? And Jesus said, I only do those things that I see my Father do and hear my Father say. See? So you can see here that it was the same trap. Proverbs 6:2, just going to share this, says, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. It's interesting, some other translations, it says, if you have been trapped by what you said and snared by the words of your mouth, this is the NIV. The Jerusalem Bible, it says, through words of yours, you have been entrapped. In the basic English, it says, the sayings of your lips have overcome you. So sometimes the sayings that come out of our mouth entrap us and snare us. How does that... I remember years ago when I'd go to the Kenneth Copeland meetings, this is back in the 80s, and Charles Capps was sharing. He began to use real life experience, or not his experience, but people that he knew of, that would speak things just the same way, you know, what I'm talking about, speaking blessings. My bank accounts are full. I'm prosperous. Everything I set my hands to is blessed. I'm blessed of God. And he would share again, let's not focus on the method. Let's not focus on how we're getting to the destination. Let God lead us and fulfill that. And he said the same way he would know people that say, you know, everything I do, you know, it just seems like everything I touch, it just comes, you know, I don't know. I get this job and just, I don't know what happens, but I just can't keep a job. I just can't keep a job. Every time I get a job, something happens and blah, 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 right? Negative, negative, negative. And he said that this person, he said, decided to just pick up the paper and say, here's an ad, go over here, follow that lead, right? And it was fulfilling his negative talk. See, your spirit will lead you. You want to talk negative? You'll be led to go do things that will fulfill that. When you talk positive, when you talk life, when you talk the blessings of God, your spirit will lead you to fulfill that. And that's why it's critical that we need to constantly and affirm constantly the blessings of God and the Word of God, because our spirit will lead us to fulfill that. And it may take time, but it's going to come to pass. I'm thinking about this particular scripture in Titus. He said, this is a faithful saying. Well, let me read it back here. I'll read this. It's in Titus 3, starting in verse 5. It says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And this is what he says in verse 8. This is a faithful saying. And these things I will that thou affirm constantly. So there's some things we need to affirm constantly, just like David did, just like Jesus did. We need to affirm that I'm redeemed by the blood of Jesus. I've been delivered from the power of darkness. I'm in a new covenant. I'm in a new kingdom. I'm not subject to the devil. And we need to affirm these things constantly, that I'm blessed. And I'm not subject to the conditions of this earth and this government. Something that Reinhard Bonnke said, he said the Lord told him this, my word in your mouth, this is what he spoke to him, my word in your mouth is just as powerful as my word in my mouth. I thought that was a powerful saying. Jesus said to him, my word in your mouth is just as powerful as my word in my mouth. Spoken in faith. Let's turn over for a minute to Proverbs 21:23. Just going to close with these few scriptures here. Proverbs 21:23. Proverbs 21:23. King James, it says, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. The New Living Translation says, watch your tongue and keep your mouth shut and you will stay out of trouble. I guess that's pretty plain, isn't it? No. The Amplified, he who guards his mouth and his tongue keeps himself from troubles. Good News Translation says, if you want to stay out of trouble, be careful what you say. Proverbs 13, let's back up. Proverbs 13 and verse 3. Proverbs 13 and verse 3. It says, he that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. The New Living Translation says, those who control their tongue will have a long life. Opening your mouth can ruin everything. The New Century Version, it says, those who are careful about what they say protect their lives, but whoever speaks without thinking will be ruined. Good News Translation, be careful what you say and protect your life. A careless talker destroys himself. I think I'll end with this. This one says it all right here. God's Word Translation says, whoever controls his mouth protects his life. Whoever has a big mouth comes to ruin. I didn't say that. God's Word Translation did. So you can see here, as we're closing, you can see that the Word of God spoken will impact our lives. It will control the conditions. It will change the conditions. And so for all of us, if we want something, I remember years ago, remember Pastor Saron Clinton invited a gentleman here, a Christian person, but he spoke more from a motivational standpoint. His name was Bob Harrison. And he said, where there's slack, there's lack. And so you can see a lot of times when there's, I'm sorry, maybe I said that wrong. He said, where there's lack, there's slack. So if we're lacking in a particular area, it means we're slacking. So that just means that we need to take a look at areas where we need improvement or we need increase. If we're not satisfied with increase, we need to, and if it's promised, then we need to take it. How do we take it? We get the Word of God down in your heart. You meditate on it day and night. Don't let it from your mouth. And it said, if you do what's according to what's written therein, you'll make your way prosperous. Amen? So that's the key. That's what Jesus said in Matthew 16. I'm giving you the keys to the kingdom of God. Whatsoever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. So we need to release faith-filled words, and it will change. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it feels like. You just got to just, as they say, flat-footed, stand up and speak to it. And it will change. It's got to change. If you continue to put your words out there and don't change, I'm telling you, the devil cannot win. He can't win. It's not possible. I say that again. It's not possible. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. That's all I had in my heart to share. See, I know that most of you here, I see you by faith. This is not a new message. This is not something new to you. But this is something that we meditate on, think about, evaluate, examine, and do. Amen. Glory to God. I say you're all winners. I say you're all overcomers. You're all prosperous. You're all healed. Some will say, well, I'm not prosperous. I'm not healed. I said, like Jesus. I remember Brother Hagin, he said, well, you know, such and such and such and such. And Jesus kept saying that in this vision that he had with Jesus. And Jesus is appearing. He's appeared to him. He's standing in front of him. And he said such and such. And Jesus finally got to the point. He said, I said such and such. And then he left. So when you start saying, I'm not, I'm this, you're calling Jesus a liar. You're calling the Word a lie. No, Jesus is going to turn around and said, I said you are prosperous. I said you are healed. I said you are an overcomer. I said that you can do all things through Christ. I said it. And what we have to do is receive it, get it down in my heart, and do what? Speak it. And release God's ability in my life. Amen. In the natural, you may not. What does it say? It says the tongue, like a little rudder, can change the whole direction of the ship. So if my body's going in the wrong direction, if it's not functioning right, how do I get it to change? Keep speaking, keep speaking, keep speaking, keep speaking, keep speaking. Joshua and Caleb didn't say anything otherwise. And they said in their 80s, I'm as good as I was in my 40s. Let's do this thing. Amen. Glory to God. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we are strong in the Lord. We thank you that we are overcomers in Christ. We thank you that we are strengthened with might by your Spirit in our inner man. We thank you that we have the spirit of wisdom and knowledge in the revelation of him. We thank you that we are knowing what is the hope of your calling in Christ. We thank you that we are knowing what is the exceeding riches of your glory in him. We thank you that we are knowing the exceeding greatness of your power in him. And we thank you that we're knowing that. We're knowing it. We thank you that our cupboards are full. We thank you that our families are blessed. We thank you that our children are blessed. We thank you that our bank accounts are full. We thank you that these bodies are strong and vibrant. We thank you that every tissue and organ functions in the perfection that you made them to function in. And we forbid any malfunction in our bodies in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for it. Thank you that the power of God, the healing power of God, is working mightily in every cell and every part of our bodies. In Jesus' name, amen.